Certainly, it's good to see each of you this evening. It's good to be back here at the Church of Mount Carmel. I was putting it mildly when I said that I don't think I've been here in probably 7 or 8 years. That's the truth. I do appreciate the kindness and hospitality of Brother and Sister Petty. I do thank you for picking me up at the airport and being patient. I didn't miss my flight. They canceled my first flight out of Greensboro. And so that caused about a 4.5 hour delay as what we've originally planned. So I do appreciate your patience there. I trust that while I'm before you that you will continue to pray for me, that the Lord most of all might be pleased to be one in our midst, that he also might be pleased to be in our hearts, that our hearts would be prepared to serve him in such a way that would be pleasing in his sight. This evening, a portion of scripture that has been upon my mind is one that's probably one of the most popular chapters in the Bible. It's really not a chapter, but it's that which we hear of quite time and time again. And we, as the Lord's people, things that we hear over and over, we have a tendency sometimes to kind of skim over it or take it lightly. But I want, if the Lord be in my helper tonight, to look at this portion of Scripture and look at the subject. We, as God's children, and I say that in hope that I am one of God's children, are always compared to in the Bible as sheep. Now, you say, well, Brother Dwayne, you're from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and that's a part of the country. First of all, it's a city. It's not a large city like Baltimore, but therefore it's a rather medium-sized city, I guess. And to be honest with you, I have never raised a sheep in my life. But through reading about sheep and reading other people's comments and articles about sheep and the raising of them, I hope that the Lord will bless us tonight to see some things about sheep, and truly, most of all, about our shepherd. This portion of scripture that I'm talking about is that found in the 23rd Psalm. You'll find there in the 23rd Psalm, and all of you can probably quote it by heart, but it starts out there, David speaking in that Psalm, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We think about that for a moment. This here is David, and I want to set this mind or this thought before you here, that David talking here is talking as though he is a sheep. He is talking about being a sheep, and we too, ourselves, and our very recesses of our own souls, I hope and trust that the reason that you're here tonight is not and I'm sure of that you're not here in order for some vain, puffed-up reason, but because that you feel it in your own breast that God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, saw you before the foundation of the world, chose you, not saw you. He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that's the reason you're here tonight, because it pleased him. It pleased him to set his grace upon you, and he has made a difference between you and the goats. You are a sheep, and I trust that's why you're here tonight. David, talking here in that 23rd Psalm, talking about the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And we sometimes read that and read it so fast that we take away the very emphasis of it. The Lord is my shepherd. What is David saying there? He's saying, I'm a sheep. Yes, when was I a sheep? We go over to the first chapter of Ephesians and we'll find there that God, in the infinite recesses of time, before time was, he set his love upon you. And it was a personal love. It was not like taking a shovel and getting a scoop of people and then throwing them over here and saying, there he is. We find there in the first chapter of Ephesians, there in the first verse, first chapter, probably the third verse, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." That tells me that his choice, his decision,
His love that was set upon us to make us sheep was happened and was in the mind and purpose of God before the foundation of the world. We were indeed sheep. David, talking here, sees his Lord. And what is he looking at this Lord for? As his shepherd. When our Lord is our shepherd, brothers and sisters, you'll find happy sheep. You'll always find happy sheep. David here is talking, and I can see David in this, and if I put a little more into this than maybe someone else has seen, I hope you'll forgive me. I don't want to stretch it. I don't want to go above and beyond it. But David here, how many times I hear there's a multitude of God's children, God's sheep out here in the world that are grazing and eating things out here in the world off wood, hay, and stubble. And they are weak, and they're infirm, and they're tossed to and fro. But David here is sitting as though he's in that good pasture. He's in the good presence. He's in the presence of his shepherd. And here's what he's telling those sheep. And I'll tell the same thing to the sheep outside here. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not walk. Have you ever thought about what it would mean not to walk? Have you ever had a day in your life? I don't know that I've had one that I do not, this flesh of mine did not want something. But whenever we come in here, I've been blessed from time to time to come into the Lord's house. And I'll prove it that David was in the Lord's house. He saw himself as being in the Lord's house. And whenever we come in here, time and time again, we've been blessed to turn our eyes away from this old flesh. And we too have been able to proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does it mean to say that you don't want anything? I've never experienced a day like that in my life, in this old flesh. My flesh has never been satisfied. It's always constantly wanting something. But David here, whenever we've come into the Lord's house and we've sat down and been blessed to hear the gospel proclaimed, and we're able to turn our eyes away from the vain and perishable things of this life, we've turned our eyes away from our flesh, away from ourselves, and this is what David is seeing. The Lord is my shepherd. Does he not have right to be your shepherd? Does he not have the right to be your shepherd? We go find the Lord talking over, speaking to his disciples over in the 10th chapter of John. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. My beloved, he has paid for these sheep with the price of his own blood. He has the right to be our shepherd. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. Here, David's talking to these other sheep out here. Yes, and we ought to be talking to other sheep that we come in contact with from day to day. Not to make them sheep. They're already sheep. But they're eating wood, hay, and stubble. And they're weak, and they're infirm. And David proclaims, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Have you ever been made to lay down in a green pasture as a sheep? You know, it's hard to make sheep lay down. They're not laid down very easily. They're not laid down very easily at all. There's usually about three or four things that must occur before a sheep will lay down. And God's children, brothers and sisters, whether you believe it or not, there's a lot of things that depend on whether they'll lay down. We left up to our own tendencies. What are our natural tendencies? God talking about our natural tendencies in the third chapter of Romans. You'll find there he talks about our natural flesh. He says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that understandeth. They have all gone astray. They have all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is our natural flesh. There's our tendencies. Our tendencies to our flesh is to go that way. But not so. David says here, the Lord maketh me lie down in green pastures. Have you not ever been blessed to come in and to lie down in a green pasture? Yes, you have. Yes, you have. The green pastures, brothers and sisters, sheep. If you know, by reading about sheep, but they have the tendency to eat and to eat and to eat until they'll eat a field until it's down to nothing but dirt. The shepherd, it's the shepherd's care. This shepherd of ours
how many times he has led us into pastures, green pastures. They, first of all, they've got to be fed before they'll lay down. God's children have to be fed. And I don't know of any other place. There's a multitude of God's children out here in the world. When I say that they're not resting. They're busy to and fro, going about all over the place, trying to make children of God. Or they feel like that if they don't get out here, that they're going to die and go to hell. Now you tell me how you could go to sleep with that. How you could lie down and to rest in green pastures with that kind of guilt upon you. There's no way. Doctrine of election, brothers and sisters, you tell me that it's not peaceful. You tell me it's not food to your soul. How about the doctrine of God's grace? How about the doctrine of a predestination? The doctrine of the resurrection? All those things that God has provided here in His Word that we've been able to bless to come in and to feast off of. Sheep have to be fed. You show me sheep that aren't getting food and I'll show you sheep that won't lay down. They will not lay down. Second, sheep cannot have conflict from within. There are sheep herds all over the place. Wherever they get lifted up in pride, you see brother so-and-so. Did you see brother so-and-so over there? Yes. Did you notice sister so-and-so's hairdo? Yes. Well, I was here. I've been here every Sunday. Brother so-and-so, he comes every once in a while. There's so many things that our old flesh can get lifted up in. Into pride, into butting, into hitting one another. And the next thing you know, brothers and sisters, the sheep will not lay down. They are restless. And usually, whenever that happens, they have turned their eyes off of their shepherd. You say, well, how do you know that? Because whenever the shepherd's around, they're watching him, and they're not watching one another. They're not watching one another. Green pastures also to get a sheep to lay down. There has to be peace within. They have to be watching that shepherd. They have to be away from fear. I don't know of any other place in my life to where I've been able to come in and there'd be no fear. God's presence is there. Whenever He's there among us, indeed how sweet it is. I have to say with old David, it has been good to go up to the house of the Lord. The peace of that surpasses all the peace of the world. They have to be free from pests and things that get caught, things that are bothering them and nagging them all the time. Do we not live in a world where the pests and the flies and the things that do corrupt are constantly flying about our heads? Yes, we do. I know I do. I work out here in the world, and all you do too, if I'm not mistaken, or have in the past. And we are constantly live in a situation and in a world where the things of this life, our old flesh, our old pride, are constantly nagging us around here. And whenever we got our eyes looking at these things here, there's no way a sheep will lay down. We ought to pray that our eyes be focused upon Him. Whenever He's around, He's in our presence. And brothers and sisters, you've got some sheep that can lie down. Those four things, usually, will prevent a sheep from lying down. They must be fed. They must be full. If they're not full, they're going to be grazing. They're going to be trying to look for food. They're going to be out here wandering around. And don't you see the friends and neighbors that we talk to time, who are wandering around, has never seemed to be quite settled, quite peaceful. The reason being, brothers and sisters, they're not being fed. That soul is not being fed. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We think about the waters. Think about God's Word as being water, God's Spirit being water. We go over to the fourth chapter of John, and we'll find there, or no, we, let me go to the third chapter of John. We'll find there that it talks about when Christ says, talking about the water, First of all, let me go to this here. He goes in the fifth chapter of Matthew. He says there, talking about water, he says, "Whosoever hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness, he shall be filled. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You show me somebody who's thirsty, brothers and sisters. Sheep are thirsty animals, and they look for still water. What do you see in that water? I see in that God's Spirit. And what does it take to get still water? I see water that has to be deep. It has to be a cool, clear water. That water is sheep. Whenever we go down there, what we are blessed to do from time to time. I've never drank in still water that I did not see a reflection. I was not blessed to see a reflection. Yeah, I know it's my old face sometimes, and it's my old mug in there. But the wonderful thing about it, brothers and sisters, whenever God's Spirit's with us, how we've been able to reflect on the goodnesses and blessings that He's bestowed upon us, we as sheep have been blessed to reflect on the blessings that He has bestowed upon us. God's Word talks about in Titus being the water, His Spirit. He says there in the third chapter of Titus, he says, but after that, in the third chapter in the fifth verse, he says, but after that, the love and kindness of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Not according to our works, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So I see in that Spirit, that water, He has led us there time and time again and fed our thirsty souls with water. That we've been blessed to still waters. We've been blessed to lie down. A still water. Have you ever tried to take a sheep? You ever seen a sheep? They're one of the most frightful characters there are. One of the most frightful. One of the, sorry to say, one of the really the less intelligent creatures there are. You take them beside a still water and they'll drink. But you take them beside a roaring river where they could not hear, and it would scare them, and they'd be scattered all over the place. And here we find that David, up to this point in time in this psalm, he's constantly bragging on the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, and telling what He has done for him. Have we not got something to brag about? And no, we're not boasting in ourselves, but Paul said in the Corinthian letter, he that glorieth, let him glorieth in the Lord. And this is what David's doing. He's glorieth in the Lord. And here he says, he's all constantly proclaiming the goodness of this shepherd. But right here in that fourth verse, the tone of this whole psalm will change. He's bragging to someone else about the goodness of this shepherd. But yet here in this fourth verse, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God's sheep have to walk through valleys, brothers and sisters. We all have to walk through valleys. We can't constantly be on a mountaintop. You can't constantly be there looking out. Yes, I love to be on those mountaintops looking out and feel like I'd be like old Moses whenever he besought God to see the picture, to see His glory. Moses went up into that mountain and God told him, said, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. And when I pass by thee, I will put my hand over thee. And whenever Moses was placed into that rock, the glory of the Lord appeared before Moses, and he saw the tail end of His glory. How many times we've been blessed to be upon those mountains, to be up in that rock, and whenever we feel like the gospel being proclaimed, how many times we've been blessed to look out into that rock, out of that rock like Moses was, and we felt like we only caught a glimpse of His glory. Moses could not see God face to face because neither could we. No man has ever seen God face to face and live. But ever he was blessed. He was blessed to see the hinder parts of His glory. And you and I are blessed from time to time to go up into that mountain like Moses. Like one of the sheep are blessed to go up into the mountains and to feast upon that high level there and to see just a glimpse of God's glory. It's from time to time we get those blessings. It's not all the time. But as sure as we're upon the mountain, you can rest assured. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. What is David saying? As sure as we're upon the mountains, we're going to be in the valleys. And God's children from time to time have to walk through the valleys. But I thank God that he did not say that we had to stay in the valley. Neither did he say that we had to stop in the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Have you ever noticed a shadow? You cannot have a shadow unless you've got light. Whenever I see that valley of death, yes, it is darkness all around us. We, as God's people, live in a valley from time to time. Whenever you look out here, you're declared to be a light that shineth brighter and brighter into a more perfect day. That's what each of us are proclaimed to be by Solomon there in Proverbs. Yes, there's light, but in that valley of the shadow of death, there's a light there. And that light, one and only, is Christ our shepherd. He is that light in that valley. You can't have a shadow unless you've got light. He is that light. Have you ever seen a valley, brothers and sisters? I think about in my mind's eye. Something else sweet about that valley is usually that's where the deep pools of water are at. How many times we've gone through trials and tribulations and it seemed like we were in that valley and we've been forced to cry out unto God. Yes, we bowed our knees to cry out unto Him and our souls have been fed and we have been watered by the deep pools of water there in the valley. Not only that, a lot of times there's green patches of grass in that valley where we've been blessed to eat whenever our souls felt like they were so cast down. How many times we've been cast down with trials and temptations in this life? Things that would seem to overwhelm our souls. But yet God, in His infinite mercy, has sent us those deep pools of water. That's where the deep pools are at. In the valleys, we've been made, we've been blessed. Even through the valley, the shadow of death. For thou art with me. He's with us on the mountains, and He's with us in the valleys. In the valleys. You know, there's a lot of times if we were up on the mountain all the time, can you imagine? I'd have a tendency to forget Him. More than a tendency, brothers and sisters. I'd have a tendency, I have something in my own nature that has more than a tendency just to forget Him. But it's to turn and to run from Him just like a dumb sheep. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Whenever the Savior is with you, brothers and sisters, that rod that they used was used for several things. For one, it was used for protection. It was used for protection. They say that a shepherd could throw that rod with such accuracy, it would just almost overwhelm you. A lot of times the rod would never leave that shepherd's hand, and he would use it to defend his sheep. Let me ask you this, how safe do you feel with your shepherd? How safe do you feel with your shepherd? I go over to the 8th chapter of Romans, and there I can start reading. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know about you, but I feel pretty safe for that shepherd. Not only that, we look at him over here. You tell me any foe that he ever faced, any foe that our Savior ever faced that he did not conquer, I'll give it to you. There's not one you'll ever find that he did not overcome. You go to Satan, and whenever Satan came and tempted him there, if you want to learn a little bit about Satan, you think he'll come up on your strong points. No, sir, he won't. He'll come to your weakness every time because our Lord and Savior had not eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. And what did he do? He came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, make these stones turn into bread. He didn't come up there and offer him a Cadillac or a new car or a way out of that place. He offered him, told him to ask him to turn those stones into bread. There's where his weakness was in the Son of Man. In his flesh right there was in his stomach. Satan, he is no fool. And our Savior overcame Satan there. And every time, he was the only one that could ever tell Satan, get behind me, Satan. You and I can't tell him that because we need to keep an eye on him. our Lord and Savior, you go to the Isle of Patmos, and you'll find there, whenever John sees him high and lifted up, what kind of Savior do we have? How at rest do you feel with him? Whenever you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I've got news for you, because I go over there to the Revelation where John saw him on the Isle of Patmos, and he said that he touched him and said, "Fear not." He said, "I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. I can walk through that valley of the shadow of death now, because the one that's leading me has the keys to it." He has the keys to those valleys. He has the key to hell and death. There is no army. There is no war weapon formed that will ever overcome our shepherd. Yes, I can lie down with my shepherd because I feel I am safe. Paul says, there also in that 8th chapter of Romans, he says, "Who shall separate us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ?" He asks the question. He goes on down through there and he names them all. And it boils down to this: there's nothing. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things past or present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Am I safe in that? I can lay down in that field, and I can lay down in that green pasture. Whenever we think, I want to go back to this, to restoring the soul. He restores my soul. Have you ever been cast down? You know, there's an old term used there for sheep called being cast. And some of you, I didn't know what it meant. But whenever a sheep is cast, what happens is it turns up on its back. And it kicks, and it cannot turn over on its feet. And the shepherd, if it were not for the shepherd coming to save that sheep would die. That sheep would die. How many times, brothers and sisters, we have been turned over on our backs, and we've been cast. We've been cast down. And our shepherd come and set us upright. This gentleman that I read behind was a shepherd. And he said every time he loved his sheep as a good shepherd would. Now you know, if a human shepherd can love his sheep, what can our shepherd do? How much does he love them? He said whenever he'd find one cast down, he'd run up to it and grab that sheep, and he'd have to rub its legs to get the circulation to go back into its feet, to its extremities. And the whole time he's talking to that sheep in love and also in rebuke. Does not our Heavenly Father also talk to us in love but also in rebuke? "He chasteneth whom he loveth." I'm here to tell you right now, there's been times we've been cast down on our backs and cannot get up. And our Savior appeared. And yes, he loves us, but yet rebukes us. There are several things that will cause a sheep to become cast down. And there's things that, as human sheep, that cause us to be cast down. First of all, usually a sheep will look for a soft place to lie down. Have we ever looked for a soft place? Yes, we have. I know I have. Oh, I don't want to get out here and let it get too hard. I don't want to let it get rough. I don't want to let it get too rough. Now, I don't want to lay down. I want to lay down and just be at ease and just, you know, I want to come in every Sunday and sit down and get up and then go home. I don't want to have to think about it again until I come in next Sunday. How many times God's children have been the same way? We're like that sometimes. I know I have been. But sheep will become cast down. What happens is they get into a soft spot, and next thing you know, their body weight shifts and it throws them up on their back and their feet are straight up. It's our nature to look for the easy path. It sure is. But something else that will make these sheep cast down is whenever they're fat. Whenever sheep are fat,
You say, well, what does that have to do with
God's children, brothers and sisters? If you don't believe that we as a God's people right now, we are fat. We have been blessed with more in this country than any other country in the history of the world. We've got yet, and you think we've been blessed so much, and we have, but what have we done with it? We see the problems out here. We see divorce 3 out of 5. We see Alcoholic Anonymous. We see drug centers. We see everything going to pot. If the world had the answers, which they don't. I'll tell you somebody who does. Our Lord has the answers. He sure does have the answers. But we see here in this casting down, we're fat. We go over to the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. And the Lord God commands the children of Israel here. And I'm going to read this. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art